All right, have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn together, if you would please, to Genesis. Once again, chapter 47 and chapter 48 will be our focus points for this morning. You know, many times as we have come through this study of the life of Joseph, many times we have observed and we have seen that he was truly a superior person. He was a superior person in Jacob's family, and of course that was seen in the way that he was chosen by his dad to be the overseer, to be the shepherd of the family. His superiority was seen in the way that his dad then prepared for him a special coat of many colors that would set him apart and declare his position within the home. But you remember then, through a series of events, Joseph has been away now from Jacob's house for some 22 years. While he was in Egypt, he had served in Potiphar's house, and then he had served in Potiphar's prison, and then he had served in Pharaoh's court. But now, as we have seen over the past couple of weeks, Joseph has been reunited. After a long absence, he's now reunited with his family, and he's restored to his position in the family, and once again he is proving to be the good shepherd, to be the good overseer for his family, as he led them, as he placed them, as he provided for them. You remember we saw in Genesis chapter 47, verse 11 and verse 12, how that Joseph placed his father and his brethren, gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all his father's household with bread, according to their families. And you remember we said that this was very important because Joseph had made it very clear that there are yet 5 years of famine that are still going to come. There are five more years of famine that are on the horizon. And so we saw last time how that not only did Joseph prove to be a good shepherd, a good overseer for his family as he led them and provided for them, but he also proved to be a good shepherd, to be a good overseer for the whole nation of Egypt. And we saw the provisions that he made there. Well, now the story, though, is going to turn. It's going to turn now back to the family of Jacob. It's going to turn from Egypt. It's going to come back to the family of Israel. And we're going to see how Jacob is going to once again acknowledge the superiority of Joseph. Jacob is going to acknowledge the superiority of Joseph. And he's going to do it in a series of what we might call bedroom scenes. Bedroom scenes. And so let's begin by noticing the first bedroom scene. And it's here that we're going to see the promises of Joseph. The promises of Joseph. I want you to notice, first of all, letter A, the time. The time of it. The Bible says in Genesis 47 and verse 27 and verse 28 that Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Remember, the famine had ended some 12 years before, so they've had now these years of blessing, these years of normality, and so he's been there now for a total of 17 years. And so the whole age of Jacob is 147 years. With such an advanced number of years, Israel, or Jacob, understood that the days of his life on this earth were certainly growing short. He understands that he's coming nearer and nearer to the end. No man knows when death is going to come, but we all kind of get the idea. The older we get, the closer it must be, right? And so that's the way Jacob is thinking, and he understands with his advanced age that certainly his days on this earth are growing short, and so therefore we find then that Jacob sends a message. He sends a message. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 47, verse 29, that the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph. He called his son Joseph. Again, because of the faithfulness of Joseph to be a shepherd who looked after the family, a shepherd who cared for the family, it was Joseph that was called by his father. It was Joseph who was called. You see, Jacob knew that he could count on Joseph. He knew that he could depend on Joseph. Joseph's already proven himself faithful. And so Jacob knew that he could count on him. Did not have that kind of confidence in his other sons. Did not have that assurance in his other boys, especially after the way they had deceived him in the past. And even though he knew that as the years had passed, those boys had changed and they had matured and they had grown and they had become true men as we saw before, and yet even still, he could not fully, completely trust them the way he did Joseph. And so we see the time of it. It's coming to the end of his life. But then I want you to notice letter B, the response. Even though it is not stated in our text, we know that Joseph immediately responded. He immediately responded to the summons of his dad. Joseph had already been providing for his father's physical needs with a place to live, with food to eat. But now Joseph is going to go beyond that. He's going to provide for his father's emotional needs. Going to provide for his father's needs on a deeper level. It's a good thing when children take care of their parents and give them, as they say here, pocket money when they get old, right? But let me just tell you something. You have not fulfilled your responsibility to your parent by giving them pocket money. There's something deeper. There's something deeper that is needed there. And Joseph understood that. And so he provided for his father, not just financially, physically, with a place to live, food to eat, all of that. But Joseph also provided him with tender, loving care. With tender, loving care. And he did that in two ways. First of all, even though he was a busy government official, remember, he's the number two man in all of the land, right? And even though he was a very busy government official, taking care of all of the business for the Pharaoh, yet he made time to go and visit his father. He took the time to go and visit his father. And then he patiently listened to the needs and the concerns of his father. And certainly that would bring great comfort to the heart of Jacob. I think one writer summed all of this up very well. One writer summed it up well when he said this. He said, Joseph stood before his father in the apparel of a great statesman. But more impressively, he stood by his father with the affection of a great son. That's well said. That's well said. Hundreds of years later at Mount Sinai, the Lord God is going to give His law to the nation of Israel. He's going to give His law to the people that have come out of Egypt. And in that law, here's what it's going to say. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the command, and it's the first command that is given that contains a promise. God says, if you do this, I'll do this. You honor your family, I'll give you a long life in the land that I am providing for you. But here's the thing I want you to notice. Hundreds of years before this law was ever given, Joseph is already doing it. Joseph is already doing it. He's already honoring his father by showing filial affection to his dad. He's honoring his father by giving to his dad the reverence and the honor that he should. He's honoring his dad by yielding and obeying the will of his father. He honors his father by supplying relief and assistance in all the things that his father needed. Truly, this man was a statesman first class, but he was a superior son. A superior your son. I want you to notice not only the response, letter C, notice the concern. The concern. Today, when we want to tell somebody the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, We'll have them to put their hand on the Bible. You've seen the courtroom scenes on television, right? The courtroom scene where they come in, they put their hand on the Bible. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God. I do. And then they get up there and they lie like crazy, right? But anyway, when we want somebody to do that, we tell them to put their hand on the Bible. Well, back in those days, when Joseph was alive, in those days they had a different custom. They had a different custom when it came to having someone promise that they're telling the truth. And the custom is found here. It's found in Genesis chapter 47, verse 29, where Jacob said to Joseph, his son, he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me." Now, this was the same custom that Abraham employed later on in Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 and verse 9, when he sent his servant on that most important mission to find a wife for Isaac. He said, I want you to put your hand under my thigh and promise that you're going to fulfill this mission. Well, now we find it again years later. Now we find Jacob doing the very same thing. Jacob is doing the very same thing. And so Jacob told Joseph, I want you to put your hand under my thigh, and I want you to make a promise. And here's what I want you to promise. Genesis 49, beginning in verse 29. "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me." Now here's what I want you to promise. "Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place." And he, talking about Joseph, with his hand under his dad's thigh, Joseph then said, "I will do as thou hast said. I will do as thou hast said." And he said, "Swear unto me." And he swore unto him. And so the concern was simply this. Israel, Jacob, he understood that Egypt was not his home. It was just a temporary dwelling place. His desire when he died was that he might be buried in his homeland, be buried with his fathers. And so that was the concern that was expressed. And then we see letter D, there is the thanksgiving. There's the thanksgiving. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 31, it says, "And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." Now I want you to understand, this was not to honor Joseph. This bowing on the bed, it was not done to honor Joseph. Rather, this was done as an act of worship to the Lord God. It's done as an act of worship to the Lord God. And so it's the same thing we find when King David heard that Solomon had been made king in his place. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 47 and verse 48 that the king bowed himself upon the bed, and also thus said the king, notice it, "Blessed be the Lord God." He bows upon the bed, but he's not worshiping his son. He's worshiping God. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, and mine eyes even seeing it." So Jacob bowed himself in worship to the Lord God, that God had blessed him with such a son as Joseph, who would so faithfully attend not only to his personal needs, but to the emotional support that he needed as he is drawing near to the end of his life. He's thanking God for a son like Joseph. Thanking God for a son like Joseph. Now that brings us to the next chapter, chapter number 48. And here we see the second bedroom scene. The second bedroom scene. And in this second bedroom scene, we find the portions of Joseph. The portions of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 48, verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." Now, you remember in the previous point, Jacob knew his time is short. He's lived a lot of years. He's lived a long time. He realizes that all things being equal, he's coming to the end of his life. But now on this particular day, he just doesn't feel good. He doesn't feel well. And he senses that this just might be the beginning of the end. That this may be the beginning of the end. And so therefore, immediately, someone is sent. Probably one of his servants, even though there's no biblical proof for that speculation. Probably one of his servants is sent who goes to Joseph to inform him that his father is not well. That his condition seems to be deteriorating and it seems like he's getting worse. And so Joseph, being the faithful son that he was, he set aside his personal business. He set aside his personal affairs and he goes to be with his father at the bedside. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 48, verse number 2, that one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and set upon the bed. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 21, that Jacob was leaning on the top of his staff. In other words, he sits up in the bed and he's also leaning on the staff for support as his body is growing weaker and weaker. However, as a good son, Joseph's visit was for his father, to encourage his father, to be a blessing to his father. And yet the fact of the matter is, the visit turned out to be a greater blessing for Joseph. Every time I read this, I am reminded of a personal experience that we had in Korea years ago. We had an old man in our church, Grandfather Sa. He was very instrumental in helping us to start the Opsan Bible Baptist Church there in the city of Daegu. At the age of 84, Grandfather Sa's health began to fail, and there finally came a day when we received the call from his daughter-in-law. And she said, "Missionary, you need to come. I don't think Grandfather's going to last very much longer." And so we went over to visit. Ginger and I went to the house. We entered the gate and then stood there in the courtyard. And one of the grandsons ran up to tell Grandfather Sa that we were there. And so while they were doing that, we waited there. And finally they said, "Okay, he's ready. You can come up." And so we went up some steps that were on the outside of the house to a little balcony. And we were walking. His room was there. And I have to be honest, I peeped, okay? I peeked. As we were walking by, I looked in the window. And as I looked in the window, I saw old Grandfather Sa as he is setting himself up in the bed. He's fixing his garments around him and he's getting ready to receive us into his presence. I kind of feel like that's what Jacob was doing. He's getting ready. He's preparing himself. And the amazing thing is that just as I had come to try to encourage and to comfort Grandfather Sa in his final hours, the fact of the matter is, he turned out to be such a great blessing to us. Here this old gentleman fixing to go to heaven, and he's encouraging us to be faithful, encouraging us to win souls, encouraging us to go to his home village and try to start a church in that place. His mind wasn't on himself. His mind was on reaching others. What a blessing, what an encouragement that was for us. It's oftentimes the experience of those who visit an afflicted saint that they find the very same thing is true. But the reason all of this was a blessing for Joseph, was because of the fact that he would be encouraged by a couple of things. As he comes into the presence of his father, soon to be going out into eternity, as he comes into the presence of his father, there's a couple of things that encourage Joseph. First of all, the memories of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible says that Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. What a great encouragement that was to Joseph to hear his dad sharing with him his own testimony of how he had met with God and how God had blessed him and how God had worked in his life and the great things that God was doing and things that he was expecting God to do, because God is always faithful to keep his promises. By the way, let me just tell you, parents, especially you fathers, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids is tell them stories. I don't mean tell them lies. I mean tell them stories about your walk with God. Tell them stories about how you came to know the Lord and how you have seen God work in your life and how you have seen God do wonderful things for you and with you and through you. And by the sharing of the stories of your own personal walk with God, you know what you're actually doing? You're actually encouraging your children to walk with God. Very important. Very important. Joseph was blessed as he heard the memories of Jacob. As Jacob shared with him how he had walked with God and all that God had done for him. But not only were there the memories of Jacob, there's also the blessings of Jacob. The blessings of Jacob. This was oftentimes called the birthright. Oftentimes called the birthright. And in this particular case, in the house of Jacob, this birthright actually involved two things. Normally it was just one thing. But in the house of Jacob, it involved two things. This birthright did. First of all, in the house of Jacob, there was what was called the double portion blessing. The double portion blessing. In other words, this was the blessing that gave the recipient twice as much of the inheritance as all the other children. It was a double portion. A double portion. And so the inheritance would be received. And this particular person would receive a double portion. Again, this was true for every Jewish family. But for Jacob's family, it took on a special significance. Because not only in this family was there the double portion blessing, but there was also the divine prince blessing. The divine prince blessing. You see, this blessing gave the recipient the privilege of being in the direct line that would produce the Messiah. This was the direct line that would actually lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah who would come into the world through one of the descendants of this line. And so this part, of course, was unique in Jacob's birthright because of the fact that no other family in the world, Jewish or otherwise, no other family in the world would be the line through which the Lord Jesus would come. And so this was a very special blessing. There was the double portion blessing. There was the divine prince blessing. Now in the family of Jacob, as you study through that, in the family of Jacob, Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn. He should have naturally been the recipient of both of those blessings. Naturally, he should have been the recipient. However, Reuben forfeited the right. He forfeited the claim by his shameful and by his wicked deeds. You can read about it in Genesis 35, verse number 2. His shameful and wicked deeds which he committed, he forfeited the right to the blessings. He forfeited the right to the inheritance. And then Simeon. Simeon was the second son. Naturally, if Reuben can't do it, then Simeon ought to, right? And Simeon was the second son. And Levi was the third son. But both of those boys, they lost the privilege. They lost the privilege because of their shameful and wicked murder of innocent people in the Shechemites. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 34. So we come to Judah. We come to Judah. Judah, the fourth son. He would be the one who would receive the divine blessing. Judah would be the one who would receive the divine blessing. very clearly stated. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Scepter, that's what a king carries. That's what a ruler carries. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Same thing is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 2, where it says, Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. The chief ruler, in other words, the line of David that's going to produce the Lord Jesus Christ. That all comes from Judah. It comes from Judah. But the birthright, there's the double portion blessing. The double portion blessing. That's going to belong to Joseph. That's going to belong to Joseph. Judah received the divine prince blessing simply because of the fact that by God's grace he had been born into the family at the number 4 position, and he had not disqualified himself like his brethren. But Joseph received the double portion blessing because he was faithful. And even though he was born as the 11th son, he served his father so faithfully that he's honored and he's given this wonderful privilege of the birthright. And we'll see exactly what all that means next time. But as I bring this to a close this morning, I want to make an application that will fit all of us. An application that will fit all of us. You see, all of those who have been born by grace into the family of God, all of us who have been saved and we've been born again and made to be the children of God, we are actually in a godly line. We're in a godly line that moves from Calvary to heaven. It moves from Calvary to heaven, and that's why the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a wonderful line that is that we walk in, a line that leads from Calvary to heaven. Children of God. Children of God. Heirs of a wonderful inheritance. Heirs of a wonderful inheritance. But see, here's the thing we need to understand. There's also going to come a day when we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be tried in the fire. Our works are going to be tried in the fire, and our works will not only be tried, but for those works that abide the fire, not only do we have the privilege of being in the line that leads to heaven, but there are additional rewards that will be available for us. Additional rewards that will be available for us based on our faithfulness. Based on our faithfulness. And so my prayer this morning is that each and every one of us would be like Joseph. That each and every one of us would be faithful in our service to our Heavenly Father, just as Joseph was faithful in his service to his father. And as a result of that, received a wonderful reward. The reward of a great inheritance. May that be true of each of us. If you do not know Him this morning, then that's where it all has to begin. It all has to begin with a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then after you come to know Him, to faithfully live for Him, to faithfully serve Him. Because the Bible does declare every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us are going to give an account of how we have lived our life, how we have served Him, how we have obeyed Him. And may God help us to live in such a way that we will receive those rewards that He has promised for those who are faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word, and Lord, for the testimony of Joseph, and how that he was such a faithful man. and his love for you, and his love for his family, and his faithfulness in serving you and serving his family. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help each one of us, that we might live in such a way that we might be able to not only be in the line that eventually leads us to heaven, but that we might be in the line of those faithful who will receive the rewards that you have prepared for those who have put you first and served you as they should during this lifetime. Lord, help us to be in that number. Help us be in that number in order that in the day when we stand before your throne, we might be able to take those rewards that you have given to us, and we might be able to offer them back to you, laying them at your feet and declaring that you are worthy to receive all glory and all honor and all praise. Lord, we pray that you would bless in this time of invitation. May your will be done in each heart and in each life. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. And as Sister Choreen begins to play a verse of invitation song, you're here this morning. God has spoken to your heart, whatever the need is. Would you let God have his way today? While we wait just a moment, would you let God have his way? Thank you so much this morning for your kind attention. Appreciate so much you being here today. And let me remind you, at 1:30 this afternoon, we will be having our afternoon service. I hope you'll plan to join us for that. Pastor Ming-Fi taking us now through the minor prophets, and looking forward to getting into that. Going to be a great study together, and I hope you'll join us for that if you can. Wednesday night will be our midweek prayer service and prayer time, and want to encourage you, if you can, in the middle of the week, it's good to just kind of take a break from the world and meet together with God's people and be fed some more of God's Word. And so I hope that you'll join us for that if you can. And then, of course, next Sunday, be back here for our regular Sunday service. Appreciate again so much you being here. Those that are visiting with us today, we appreciate so much you being here. Hope that you'll come and be with us again every opportunity that you can. Heavenly